Be present with us now, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I see you stand like greyhounds in the slips, straining upon the start. The game's afoot. Follow your spirit, and upon the charge cry, God for Harry, England, and St. George. Today is St. George's Day, and I notice Peter is celebrating. It's also Shakespeare's birthday, so I thought I would acknowledge both by that quotation from Henry V, but that'll be it. I trust you are all like greyhounds in the slips, straining upon my words. I wish. Now, today's gospel takes place on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Two people are making the journey. One, we're told, is Cleopas. Might the other be Mary, the wife of Clopas, who in John's gospel stood at the foot of the cross? Why are they leaving Jerusalem? Are they refugees, asylum seekers, fleeing the city, afraid that the authorities who killed Jesus will seek to destroy his friends and followers, who we know are hiding behind locked doors? As the two walk and talk, a stranger draws alongside. It is Jesus, but they don't recognize him. Why not? Let me make some suggestions. I attended a funeral in Oxford recently at a church where I had worshipped 30 years ago. A lot has happened in that time. And at first, I didn't know anyone. But gradually, a turn of the head, a smile, a word, and then I recognized some old friends. A lot has happened to Jesus. He has been tortured. He has been brutally killed. He has been to hell and back. No wonder he was changed. But was there more to it than that? After his resurrection, Jesus is between life on earth and life in heaven. He has been subtly changed. St. Paul makes that distinction. He says, talking about death, he says, what you sow must die before it is given new life. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but only a grain like wheat. The risen body is changed. So, back to the Emmaus Road. The stranger asks the couple, what were you discussing? Why are you so sad? Cleopas answers, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know what's happened. Well, what? Let's read. They replied, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they didn't find his body there, they came back, and they told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him. The stranger replies, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." The clues are there in the Old Testament scriptures. In the prophets, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Hosea. In the Psalms, such as Psalm 22. But they are clues. They are not a blueprint. We need an interpreter to explain them. Even better, an interpreter with whom we have built a friendly, trusting relationship, like this stranger on the road. So my question for you today is, how does God communicate with us? In this account, it's in two ways. First, God communicates through the scriptures. And second, God communicates through a relationship. Indeed, it is through kindly relationships with friends, with family, with trusted teachers that we can come to know God's wisdom and love. And there are other ways as well, which I don't think are highlighted in this particular account. For example, I believe that God communicates us through nature, through music, through art, through poetry, through film and writing. There are countless ways in which God may speak to us, including through sacred meals. So, let's get back to the Emmaus Road. As they drew near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over." The travellers have made a new friend, and they want him to stay, which he does. Then as they sit down to eat, when he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Their eyes were opened. In that familiar, well-loved act of blessing and breaking of bread, they knew Jesus. Holy meals are significant in Scripture. Abraham prepares food for three visitors: angels, the Holy Trinity. Moses and the elders of Israel eat and drink in the presence of God at the top of the mountain. And on the night before he died, Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples. While doing so, he instituted Holy Communion. And he instructed us to do the same in remembrance of him. At Emmaus, the travellers have at last recognised Jesus and are filled with love and tenderness and excitement. A stone has been rolled from their minds. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" And that same hour, they got up and they returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." And then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. I pray that shortly we too will be filled with that same awe and reverence and love as in Holy Communion we break bread and drink wine together. So let me finish by asking you, what has been your darkest time? Have you suffered bent bones, minds fractured by life? Was it a death? A betrayal, a devastating diagnosis? And what has sustained you? Sustained you when everything else has been thrown at you? What has given you hope? Jesus was the unknown companion alongside those broken-hearted travellers on the Emmaus Road. And the unseen Jesus is with us too. When we feel we cannot go on, Jesus is there. He is our unseen companion on our road. We have just sung one of my favourite hymns, and I'll just read you one verse. When our hearts are wintry, grieving, and in pain, thy touch can call us back to life again. Fields of our hearts that dead and bare have been, love is come again like wheat that springeth green. Almighty God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace. And in the renewal of our lives, make known your heavenly glory through Christ our Lord. Amen.